This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
كتاب أنزلناه إليك مبارك ليدبروا آياتي وليتذكر أولو الألباب.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every blessing He has given us. We praise Him for having revealed the Qur'an to us. We thank Him for having guided us to Islam. We worship Him and we extol Him because only He is worthy of unconditional praise. And we send salat and salam upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to reveal His final book to, and sent down the best of all angels, the angel Jibreel, to reveal to Him His chosen speech. And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for having gifted us with life and for having gifted us this month of Ramadan. And during this month, dear brothers and sisters, as has been my habit for the last decade, I'm going to be starting a new series. But this is a series that I am very hesitant even to begin, but I prayed istikhara and I put my trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The goal of this project is very ambitious. It is to summarize the entire message of the Quran in 30 lessons. And before we begin, I really do need to very quickly give you a brief methodology about the remaining lectures. Obviously, this series is called the Quran in 30 lessons. It is really meant as an overview, a bird's eye view, a summary, a condensed presentation of the message of the Quran. And it is not meant to take the place, not just of the original, nothing can take the place of the original, but even of any tafsir or of any full translation. Rather, my goal in this series is that this lecture should serve as an introduction and as a motivation for you to then read the Quran, firstly in Arabic, the juz that we're going to do, the section that we're going to do, and then, inshallah ta'ala, read the translation of at least 1/30 of the Quran. So the goal of this introductory lecture is to entice you, inshallah ta'ala, to give you some background knowledge so that inshallah you can then read the original Arabic and then read any translation in your language so that you have some ideas and some contextualization. And of course, since we are summarizing, of course, we're not going to go over verse by verse. We're not going to go over word by word. Rather, we're going to talk about motifs and themes, and perhaps one or two verses I will contextualize or point out or maybe correct a common misunderstanding that might exist. And so, do not make this invalid assumption that just because I skip over some verses, somehow they are not as relevant as others. Obviously, the entire Quran is equally important. And obviously, we need to read the Quran cover to cover. So this lecture is simply meant especially for those who have never read the Quran, or perhaps they are not Muslim yet, and they're interested in the messages overall of the Quran, or perhaps our young men and women are teenagers, and those that they are wanting some background knowledge. This is really the purpose of the project that I am undertaking. As well, if anybody is accustomed to listening to my previous lectures, any lectures that I give, you are typically aware that it is my style in other lectures to be pretty exhaustive, to mention various opinions, to go down different tangents. In this series, I will try my best to really skim over and to really give only one opinion. And what that means is that sometimes I'm going to say something, and that's what happens at a beginning level, and it actually is only one opinion out of five, and I'm just going to say it and move on. So please do not assume that this is the advanced or the exhaustive study. That is for other lectures. And of course, this is an ambitious project. I ask Allah Azza wa Jal for His help and His blessings. And I say even in Arabic, it has rarely been done where the goal is to just summarize in just half hour lectures the entire message of the Quran. It's a project that has a lot of pros and a lot of cons. And this is a human attempt from me. So it is bound to have some errors, some failings. It is bound to be subjected to some valid criticisms or alternative paradigms. And for that, I ask Allah's Allah's forgiveness first and foremost, and then the reader's and the listener's indulgence. My goal is to introduce a summarized message of the Quran to an English-speaking audience, and especially to our young men and women who perhaps haven't read the entire Quran. Perhaps they won't be given that opportunity, or they're not interested right now. Through these series of lectures, my goal is to entice them. My goal is to make them feel enthused to go read the entire Quran cover to cover. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His blessings and guidance. And I ask for His forgiveness for any shortcomings and any mistakes. Now, one other point before we get to the recitation. This series is, of course, in 30 parts. And the division of the Quran into 30 parts. These parts in Arabic are called juz, the plural is ajza, and in the Urdu or Hindi speaking world is called para or separa. This division of the Quran into 30 parts, it is a very old division. It originated in Iraq in the second century of the Hijrah, in the time of the Taba Tabi'un. It is not something that the Prophet ﷺ did or the Sahaba did. It was done in early Islam to facilitate reading the Quran in a month. And so they would divide the Quran into roughly 1/30, and they called it a juz, so that every day you can read one, and so that in every month you will finish the Quran. And it's useful. However, these divisions are not divine in nature. They are done by committees or groups of people from the past, and it just kind of sort of stayed on. Therefore, in my 30 lectures that I'm going to be giving, while we will be going, you know, bit by bit, we are not going to actually be doing specifically one juz. It'll be around a juz. Sometimes I'll go a little bit more, sometimes I'll go a little bit less, sometimes I'll do the entire surah. If it's like a juz and a half, I'll just summarize the entire surah. The point is that we will be progressing through the Quran bit by bit, but not necessarily exactly at the marker of the juz. Rather, I'm going to try my best to summarize as many surahs as I can, because the surah or the chapter is what is divine. That is what Allah demarcated. Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah Ali Imran, Surah An-Nisa. That is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as for these juz markings, they're somewhat random, and you know, there's no problem with them, but the meanings are not marked by those 30th. It's just a random point where 1/30th of the Quran finishes. And one of the things I was very eager about in this series as well is that because the Quran is the Arabic, eternal, uncreated, divine speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no translation will ever take the place of the Quran. And it is necessary that we get even just a glimpse of the beauty of the original. And therefore, I'm going to try my best, inshallah, that every single day we're going to begin our series with at least around 10 minutes of recitation from our Qari Hafiz Sajjad, our Qari here in Dallas. And it's only going to be a 10-minute selection. And inshallah, the recitation and the surah and the verse is going to be on your screen. I strongly encourage and recommend you to follow along that recitation and then to listen to my summary. And then later on in these nights of Ramadan, when most of us are locked down, this is the lockdown Ramadan. This is going to go down in history as the COVID-19 Ramadan, the Ramadan where we spent more time with our family and more time with the Quran. So the goal is after this lecture that you then read the entire juz at least, and then read a translation, so that inshallah throughout this whole month of Ramadan, you will not only read the Quran, you would have had your first, maybe some of you, your first understanding for the entire juz that we're going to be doing a tafsir of. And with that, I'm going to ask Qari Hafiz Sajjad to recite a selection, and I ask you to follow along. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام ميم ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون إن الذين كفروا سواء عليهم أأنذرتهم أم لم تنذرهم لا يؤمنون ختم الله على قلوبهم وعلى سمعهم وعلى أبصارهم غشاوة ولهم عذاب عظيم ختم الله على قلوبهم وعلى سمعهم وعلى أبصارهم غشاوة ولهم عذاب عظيم ومن الناس من يقول آمنا بالله وباليوم الآخر وما هم بمؤمنين يخادعون الله والذين آمنوا وما يخدعون إلا أنفسهم وما يشعرون في قلوبهم مرض فزادهم الله مرضا ولهم عذاب أليم بما كانوا يكذبون وإذا قيل لهم لا تفسدوا في الأرض قالوا إنما نحن مصلحون ألا إنهم هم المفسدون ولكن لا يشعرون وإذا قيل لهم آمنوا كما آمن الناس قالوا أنؤمن كما آمن السفهاء ألا إنهم هم السفهاء ولكن لا يعلمون وإذا لقوا الذين آمنوا قالوا آمنا وإذا خلوا إلى شياطينهم قالوا إنا معكم إنما نحن مستهزئون الله يستهزئ بهم ويمدهم في طغيانهم يعمهون أولئك الذين اشتروا الضلالة بالهدى فما ربحت تجارتهم وما كانوا مهتدين مثلهم كمثل الذي استوقد نارا فلما أضاءت ما حوله ذهب الله بنورهم وتركهم في ظلمات لا يبصرون صم بكم عمي فهم لا يرجعون أو كصيب من السماء فيه ظلمات ورعد وبرق يجعلون أصابعهم في آذانهم من الصواعق حذر الموت والله محيط بالكافرين يكاد البرق يخطف أبصارهم كلما أضاء لهم مشوا فيه وإذا أظلم عليهم قاموا ولو شاء الله لذهب بسمعهم وأبصارهم إن الله على كل شيء قدير يا أيها الناس اعبدوا ربكم الذي خلقكم والذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون الذي جعل لكم الأرض فراشا والسماء بناء وأنزل من السماء ماء فأخرج به من الثمرات رزقا لكم فلا تجعلوا لله أندادا وأنتم تعلمون وإن كنتم في ريب مما نزلنا على عبدنا فأتوا بسورة من مثله وادعوا شهداءكم من دون الله إن كنتم صادقين فإن لم تفعلوا ولن تفعلوا فاتقوا النار التي وقودها الناس والحجارة أعدت للكافرين وبشر الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات أن لهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار كلما رزقوا منها من ثمرة رزقا قالوا هذا الذي رزقنا من قبل وأتوا به متشابها ولهم فيها أزواج مطهرة وهم فيها خالدون صدق الله العظيم.
So this juz is of course the beginning of the Quran, and we begin with Surah Al-Fatiha, the opening. And what a beautiful surah it is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Surah Al-Fatiha as being the seven oft-repeated verses, as-sab' al-mathani. And subhanAllah, there is nothing in this entire world that is recited anywhere near the amount of times that Surah Al-Fatiha is recited. No prayer, no literature, no piece of any statement of any man that is recited as much as this verse or these verses from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every practicing Muslim recites Surah Al-Fatiha around 2 dozen times a day. There are 1 billion Muslims in the world. world. Multiply that by 365 days of the year. Multiply that for the last 14 centuries until the day of judgment. There is nothing in all of humanity's history that is recited or has been recited as much as Surah Al-Fatiha. And that is why Allah calls it As-Sab' Al-Mathani, the seven oft-repeated verses. And Surah Al-Fatiha summarizes our entire purpose of life. We began by praising Allah, unconditional, Alhamdulillah, and He is the Lord, the ultimate Lord of all of the creations. And we are reminded of His most essential characteristics. He is compassionate, He is merciful. We are reminded that there is an ultimate day of judgment, that this life is not going to end with our death, but we are going to be resurrected, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge us when He resurrects us. And then we are told, what is our purpose here? What are we supposed to do? إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You alone, O Allah, are we going to worship. And You alone are the one whose help we will seek. There is no object in this entire creation that is worthy of our veneration, our worship, our servitude, besides You, O Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no one is there that can help me, that can guide me, that whom I can ask besides You. And that is why we worship Him and we seek His help alone. And what is the most important aspect of help that we want? إِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. We want to be rightly guided. We want the straight path. This world is full of paths. Allah tells us in the Quran, don't follow the wrong paths. There's so many misdirections. There's so many evil ways. We don't want to go down there, those ways. We want to go down the straight path, the path that will take us to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the path of the righteous, the path of the prophets, the path of the martyrs, the paths of those who have chosen piety over impiety, that have chosen to worship Allah over living a viceful life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us by telling us how to ask Him, we are given hope. He has spoon-fed us. This is what you ask me. Because the one who will respond when He tells you how to ask, then your trust in Him and your optimism for having your dua answered will be even higher. So we ask Allah to be guided to the straight path. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Which path is that? صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ. It is the path of those whom Allah has blessed, whom Allah has favored. Because we don't want the path of those who intentionally go astray, those who know the truth and then decide to not take that path. Hence they are accursed. Hence Allah's anger is on them. Nor do we want the path of those who might be sincere, but they're not doing the research. They're not reflecting enough. They're being a little bit naive and they're just going because other people are going. They might deep down inside have an element of sincerity, but we are not sheep. We don't just go where the people go. We don't want to go where the people are leading us astray. And that is the path of Dalin, where even if the intentions might be good, but they haven't done tafakkur and tadabbur. They haven't contemplated, and hence they still go astray. And by saying Ameen, the meaning of Ameen is an affirmation of all that has preceded. The meaning of Ameen is to say, O Allah, all that I have heard, I want this, O Allah, grant it to me. And so this surah serves as an introduction to our relationship between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who is Allah, and what is our job and our goal in this life? And that is the worship of Allah, and that is constantly wanting to better ourselves by finding the right path. Of course, Surah Al-Baqarah, which we now move on to, Surah Al-Baqarah is of course named after the famous story of Musa telling his people to sacrifice a cow. And by the way, the names of the surahs, they are not necessarily divine. The names of the surahs, we don't really have to read in symbolic imagery or metaphorical language. No, it's just a marker. Sometimes that marker was given by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and sometimes the companions just decided to name a surah. So it's the names of the surahs are for convenience sake, simple as that. And of course, Surah Al-Baqarah is the longest surah of the Qur'an. And it contains the single most blessed verse of the Qur'an. And that is Ayat Al-Kursi. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum. It also has the verses that were given to our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he went on the night journey. And Allah Azza wa Jal gifted him directly from under the treasures of his throne. He gifted him something unique, and that is the last two verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, the Aman al-Rasul section of the last two verses. Also, Surah Al-Baqarah has the last verse that was ever revealed in the entire Quran, the last verse that was ever revealed, and that is وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Be conscious of the day you shall return to Allah. That was the prediction that Allah told to our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that you will be returning back to your Lord. Surah Al-Baqarah is, of course, the surah that was first revealed when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated from Mecca to Medina. It is an early Madani revelation. And this is important because the styles of the Quran, they vary from Mecca to Medina. The content of the Quran varies when it was coming down from Mecca to Medina. The style of the verses, the languages, even sometimes the metaphors that are employed. So it helps us in understanding the Quran to know where the Quran or which portion of the Quran was revealed where. Also, Surah Al-Baqarah has been praised very highly by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, does this mean that some sections of the Quran are more blessed than others? Yes, actually that is the case. Some sections of the Quran are more blessed than others, even though the whole Quran as a whole is of course infinitely more blessed than anything that any human can say. The Quran is the speech of Allah, and therefore compared to us, the superiority of the speech of Allah over our speech is similar to the superiority of Allah over us. However, within the speech of Allah, certain sections are more powerful than others. Certain surahs are more blessed than others, even though the whole Quran is powerful and blessed. And Surah Al-Baqarah in particular, there are many blessings about this surah. Of them is the famous hadith in Bukhari and Muslim that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded us to recite the Quran. And then he said, the Quran will come as an intercessor for those who recite it. And then, out of all of the Quran, he said, اقرأوا البقرة وآل عمران. Recite the Surah Al-Baqarah and Surah Al Imran. And then he called them Az-Zahrawain, the two bright surahs. So he called Baqarah and Al Imran lamps, illuminating lights. And he said, on the Day of Judgment, these two surahs in particular, they will come like two massive clouds or two massive flocks of birds in ranks, pleading for the one who has recited these two surahs. So out of the whole Quran, he then said, recite Baqarah and Ali Imran. And then he said, اقرأ البقرة, recite Baqarah. So then he emphasized Baqarah over Ali Imran. And then he said, اقرأ البقرة فإن أخذه بركة, taking it is going to be a blessing. تركه حسرة, leaving Baqarah is going to cause you a source of grief and regret. And ولا يستطيعه البطلة, an evil can never overcome or confront Surah Al-Baqarah. So these beautiful phrases of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, holding on to Baqarah will bring barakah. Barakah means Allah's blessings, Allah's favors. And he told us not reciting Baqarah will give us hasra, and hasra means grief. We're going to be sad. So when we're sad, reciting Baqarah will eliminate the grief, because by not reciting Baqarah we become sad. Therefore, when we are sad, if we recite Baqarah, we will become cheered up, we'll become happy. And our Prophet ﷺ said, evil can never conquer Surah Al-Baqarah. Surah Al-Baqarah, of course, because it is so long and because it came down in the early Medina phase, because of its length, there's hardly any topic that it does not discuss. You can really say Baqarah summarizes the entire Quran. And it begins by discussing the three main categories of mankind. All of mankind can be divided into three simple categories. Those who believe, those who choose not to believe, and these are the kafir, and then those who pretend to believe, and these are the hypocrites. And this is the broad category of mankind. Also, Surah Al-Baqarah mentions every single aspect of our creed, what we believe, every aspect of theology is mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah. In particular, so many verses about belief in Allah and the proofs of Allah's existence and the proof of Allah's ultimate dominion and control. Allah says in Surah Al-Baqarah that, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ, O mankind, worship your Lord who created you and those before you, who made this earth a vast land and who made the skies a towering adornment. So do not take partners alongside Allah. Worship Allah alone. Allah says in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَإِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ, your Lord is one Lord, your God is one God. لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُ, there is no God other than Him. He is the Rahman, the Rahim. And then Allah says, look around you in the creation of the heavens and the earth, in the creation of the heavens and earth, in the alternation of the night and the day, in the ships that sail in the oceans for the benefit of mankind, in the rain and the water that Allah sends down from the skies, and it revives the earth after it had been dead, and it scatters all amongst all types of creatures, in the changing of the winds and the seasons, in the clouds that are moving around in the between the heavens and the earth. In all of these signs are miracles for people who reflect, for people who understand. Allah is saying, do you need any evidence that there is a higher power? Look at this beautiful world around you. There is hardly any aspect of it except that it is screaming the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The surah also tells us to believe in the angels. And in particular, out of the whole Quran, it is this surah that mentions the two most powerful angels that Allah says in Surah Al-Baqarah, مَنْ كَانَ عَدُوًا لِجِبْرِيلَ وَمِيكَالَ. Whoever is an enemy to Jibreel and Mikal has taken Allah as an enemy as well. And therefore Jibreel and Mikal are mentioned explicitly by name in the surah. The surah as well tells us to believe in the previous prophets and in their revelations. In fact, on the very first page of the surah, Allah tells us that the believers are those who believe in what has been revealed to you and what has been revealed to those before you. وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. So we are told that we are not the first nation. Our Prophet ﷺ is not the first prophet. No, the one who created the first mankind also sent the first prophet before us. So a part of our theology is that our theology is not unique. It is not new. It goes back to the beginning of time. We are also told in the surah to believe in the prophets. So many prophets are mentioned. We're going to go over some of them in the next few minutes. And so we are told of the histories of previous nations as well. In the surah as well, we are told about the resurrection and the judgment and the links to the previous life that we had with our next life. Allah says in the Quran, كَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ Surah Al-Baqarah. How can you reject Allah? How can you deny the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How can you not worship God when you didn't exist and He created you and He gave you life? Then He is the one that will cause you to die and then you shall return to Him. So all of the main points of our creed, our belief, are very clearly mentioned in this surah. As well, Surah Al-Baqarah is a unique surah as well in that it tells us every single one of our rituals by name. It tells us the five pillars of Islam. It tells us, of course, that the righteous are those who practice these pillars. In fact, that is the very first verse of Surah Al-Baqarah. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهُ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. They believe, there has to be belief. وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ. So the people, the righteous, are those who, they are following these rituals after their belief. وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. And they spend from the money that we have given unto them. So we are told of the rituals, the salah, the zakah. In this chapter as well come the famous verses of fasting, the famous verses we hear every single Ramadan, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed for you. This is the month of fasting. It's mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah. The month of Ramadan is mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah. Surah Al-Baqarah tells us that fasting is nothing new. Actually, every generation, every nation, every prophet was given some type of fasting as well. His Ummah was also given the commandment to fast. We are not the first to fast. And then Allah tells us the purpose of the fast is a higher goal, that we can be conscious of Allah, the purpose of taqwa. So the fasting is mentioned here in Surah Al-Baqarah. In Surah Al-Baqarah as well, we have the command to perform the Hajj. Allah says in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَأَتِمُّ الْحَجَّ وَالْعُمْرَةَ لِلَّهِ. Fulfill the commandment to do Hajj and fulfill the commandment to do Umrah for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all of these rituals are explicitly mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah. But rituals is not the only aspect of our faith. Theology is not the only aspect of our faith. In this surah as well, we learn about the prohibitions of alcohol, about the prohibitions of gambling. Allah says in the Quran, alcohol, there might be some benefit. There is some good. I'm not denying it. Allah is saying, yes, there is some pleasure in it, that it makes you feel good. Yes. But then Allah says, but the evil of it, the filth of it, is much more than the benefit that comes. Allah says in the Quran that gambling as well, maysir, it's a waste of our money and time. Shaitan wants to cause division between us. Shaitan wants to waste our money by gambling. So Allah prohibits for us alcohol and alcoholic drinks. drinks and all types of drugs. And Allah forbids us from gambling and other aspects as well. And this shows us that the Quran has to shape our morality as well. Those who believe in this book, it's not good enough to simply have abstract theology, I believe in God. Rather, the Quran is going to shape your personal morality as well, your ethics as well. It also tells us, Surah Al-Baqarah, that morality alone is not good enough. No, Islam is more than just theology and rituals and morality. The Quran is coming, Surah Al-Baqarah is coming with very specific personal laws. There are many verses in Surah Al-Baqarah about marriage, about divorce, about living our lives in accordance with very specific guidelines. In fact, in Surah Al-Baqarah, we are even told about how we divorce. If we have to get a divorce, even though it's not encouraged overall, but if a divorce is going to take place, Surah Al-Baqarah is telling us that be gentle, be kind, bil ma'roof, do it in the best manner. Surah Al-Baqarah is telling us that even if a divorce must take place, then gift each other, and especially the husband should give a gift to his wife. وَمَتِّعُوهُنَّ, give them a gift at the parting. And Surah Al-Baqarah is telling us that even after the divorce takes place, how long can the lady wait before she remarries another person? These detailed laws, it's literally explicit, 4 months and 10 days. It comes as a number, 4 months and 10 days. It literally informs us, therefore, that one who believes in Allah, there are laws that need to be followed. And these laws are for our own betterment and our own good. As well, the laws don't just deal with our personal lives, our marriage, our divorce. No, Surah Al-Baqarah also lays down the foundations for the concept of Islamic economics. Multiple verses in Surah Al-Baqarah deal with Islamic financial concepts, which are very different and unique to those found in other traditions and cultures. Allah encourages us to write down contracts. Allah encourages us to be specific. In the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal wants there to be witnesses that people know. Don't do things in secret. Have the contract. Let people know whenever you're going to agree about a business, about any type of thing, about a loan, then uktubuhu. Allah is encouraging us, write it down. Don't just let it ambiguous. And if you're able to have witnesses so that everybody knows, because we don't like ambiguity. We don't want problems to come, deceitfulness. We don't want the opportunity for shaitan to bring any type of acrimonious hatred between two people because of money. So one of the ways that we get out of this is that we're very clear in our business guidelines. What exactly is each partner going to do? How much profit is going to be given? Allah wants us to be very clear. And then in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also lays down one of the biggest sins in our religion and the biggest cardinal sin when it comes to finances, and that is interest. Surah Al-Baqarah says that Allah has forbidden interest and Allah has allowed buying and selling. Allah has allowed free market trading, generally speaking, and Allah has forbidden interest. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whoever legalizes interest, whoever thinks that interest is good and he wants to take it, he might as well be declaring war against Allah azza wa jalla himself. From all of this, we learn that our faith, our religion, the religion of Islam, it's not just a private matter that between me and Allah, I believe in a God and I believe. It's not even a personal ethical that, okay, in my own personal life, I'm not going to drink and I'm not going to do gambling. It's not even in my interactions with others on a small basis in my marriage and divorce and inheritance. No, it's much more than this. Islam aims for the betterment of human society. Islam wants cultures to flourish. Islam wants its people to live ethical lives and for the civilizations of its peoples to become strong. And that will only happen when they have an entire system of life, not just in their theology, not just in their rituals, in their ethics, in their norms, in their values, in their interactions with others, in their marriage and divorce, in how they give their property away, in their business transactions, and in their personal matters. This is what the entire religion of Islam is. So we are given the crystal clear picture that Islam is not just a personal faith, not at all. Islam is an entire way that is meant to empower us, to improve our souls, to bring about laws that will better society, and to cause positive values to be prevalent while minimizing evil, while covering up corruptive factors, greed, gambling, drugs and vice. We don't want to promote that type of stuff. It's not healthy for mankind. So the Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah, is coming with this civilizational message that Islam is more than just an abstract series of beliefs. Also, Surah Al-Baqarah is one of the main surahs that mentions so many previous prophets. And subhanAllah, we can give many lectures just about this issue. Look, for example, at the story of Adam, which is the first story in the Quran. And of course, it's the most appropriate story to begin with. It is the story of our origin. Where do we come from? Where does this beautiful creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala originate from? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the original man and his spouse, and from the two of them, all of us came. And in the original story, the Adamic story, we learn so much of them, is the divine gift, the mystery of language, of intellect. Because when Allah teaches Adam to speak, to teach someone, that person has to have intellect to learn. Also, eloquent speech indicates that the one who is speaking is one of intelligence. And so, by reminding us that Allah gifted man, the عَلَّمَهُ الْبَيَانِ, Surah Al-Rahman tells us, but in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا, Allah taught Adam the gift of human speech. Where does speech come from? To this day, you know, linguists and psychoanalysts, they are debating what is the origin of speech, because it's very, very unique amongst all of the creation of this world. We are the only species whose speech is eloquent. We can talk about history and physics and metaphysics. We can wonder and pontificate about the meaning of nature. We can pass down our traditions to future generations. We can write that which no other species can do. So we are a unique species. Where did this come from? Allah says in the Quran, وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. So the Adamic story, it tells us the beauty of that gift of language and that gift of intelligence. Also, in the Adamic story, we learn that we are not the only creation. There is another creation as well, and that is the Iblis or the jinn or the shayateen. They are also here. We are not the only creation. And we learn here of the one of the main morals and lessons of that story of Adam alayhi salam is that, yes, all of us are sinful. Adam was a sinner. Iblis was a sinner. But the sinner that will eventually be coming back into the mercy of Allah, the sinner that will eventually regain the rahmah of Allah, is the sinner who acknowledges his sin. The sinner who says, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا, O our Lord, I committed the sin. We are sinful. And if you don't forgive me, O Allah, then there is no hope, I will be destroyed. The sinner who then becomes arrogant, and that is the sin of Iblis, the sinner who says, it's not my fault, أَبَى وَاسْتَكْبَرَ, he became arrogant, that sinner has no chance of repentance. The essence of our religion is humbling oneself in front of Allah. Allah doesn't care how sinful a person is. Our father Adam was in Jannah. Our father Adam saw every single miracle with his own eyes. He experienced what the rest of us dream about, and he saw it with his eyes. Still, he committed a sin. In Jannah itself, he did something that Allah asked him not to do. And Allah Azza wa Jal, yes, he was sent down to this earth, but Allah forgave him. فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ, Allah forgave him. If Allah can forgive our father, he's our father. It's our flesh and blood. We are his children. All of us are sinners like our father Adam. No sinner should ever feel that it's hopeless. There's no point. Allah will never forgive me. The sin of Adam. Can you imagine? Allah created Adam with his own hands. Allah breathed the ruh into Adam. Allah Azza wa Jal gifted Adam his wife Hawa. Allah said, you and your wife enter Jannah. Eat whatever you want. And he lived in Jannah for eons and eons, more than we can ever imagine how long he was there. And he still slipped. And that is no problem in if you repent to Allah. Because our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, all of the children of Adam make mistakes. All of them, like their father Adam did. We too will make mistakes. Let no one ever think that I am too sinful. No, we are the sons and daughters of the first man and the first woman who themselves were sinners. And they repented and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave them. In the story, in the Surah of Baqarah, we also have the story of Ibrahim as well, and the building of the Kaaba. And that shows us that not only the history of the Kaaba and of Mecca, where the Prophet ﷺ was born and raised, but also that doing something magnificent or great means nothing if Allah does not accept it. Ibrahim built the most magnificent, the most blessed structure that humanity knows. Ibrahim built the first house of worship. There was no church, there was no synagogue, there was no mosque on this earth until Ibrahim built that first structure, the first house that was meant for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And billions of people would come and do tawaf and worship Allah at that house. Ibrahim did it, and then what did he say? Was he arrogant and strutting and prideful and say, look what I did? Or did he say, as Surah Al-Baqarah says, رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. No matter what you do, dear Muslim, never feel a sense of arrogance and entitlement. No matter what you do, thank Allah and then ask Allah for acceptance and ask Allah for forgiveness. We can never ever allow the sin of Iblis to come into us. The sin of Iblis was arrogance. We can never allow that. In the story of Ya'qub, we learn as well that what should be bothering us, what should be on our minds. Ya'qub is on his deathbed. He barely has a few minutes left and his children are all around him. A beautiful picture is painted that Ya'qub is on his deathbed and all of his children are around him. And you know, at this point in time, you know, all of this world and all that is just secondary to you leaves. You want to leave your children with what is most important. You want to leave your children with the most important message possible. What was that message? Ya'qub says to his children, what are you going to worship after me? What will your religion be? What will your way of life be? That's what I'm concerned with. My legacy in you, dear children, it is what your religion and way of life is going to be. I'm not worried about your money, your careers. I'm not worried about anything else. That's all going to come and go. We're all going to leave this world. What are you going to leave this world with, dear children? And the children said, we will worship your God and the God of your ancestors, Ibrahim and Ishaq, and we will be upon the religion of Islam. And so Ya'qub died a happy man because he imparted his faith to his children. Dear parents, of what use is all your wealth and privilege if you're not going to leave the most important and the most precious thing to you, and that is your faith, if you're not going to leave it with your children before you move on. So we learn this in the story of Ya'qub. In the story of David, Dawood, and his fight with Goliath, Jalut, we learn so much as well. We learn that no matter how small your numbers, no matter, you know, how ill-prepared you are in terms of you don't have the logistics or whatnot, if you truly, truly have your faith in Allah and you do your best, we're not saying that you don't do your best. No, Dawood did his best with whatever he had. You know, Goliath, of course, had his armies. Goliath had his armor. And Dawood, of course, he just had a slingshot. That's all he had. He didn't have a sword because he was just a little kid. He didn't have the armor because his armies were different. What did he have? A slingshot. And so, وَكَمْ مِنْ فِئَةٍ قَلِيلَةٍ غَلَبَتْ فِئَةً كَثِيرَةً بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. How many are the people that are under-equipped, under-prepared, but they have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because they have Allah, they have victories. And this shows us that no matter, you know, what our odds might be, if Allah chooses to help us, then doesn't matter who's on the other side. If Allah is on our side, we will be victorious. And that is what we learn from the story of Dawood and Jalut. From the story of Sulaiman as well, as mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah. And we learn here that his relationship, with the blessings that Allah gave him, and his relationship with the jinns as well. We already mentioned that the Baqarah teaches us that there are other species as well. And a very interesting point here that we learn in the story of Sulaiman is that, you know, don't expect when you do something right that everybody is going to praise you. No. Sulaiman, being the prophet of God, he was slandered till his death and after his death. And false accusations were made against him. Even after he died, people said bad things about him. But you see, Sulaiman, being that righteous servant of Allah, Allah defended Sulaiman in the Quran. If you have Allah, Allah will defend you. And Allah Azza wa Jalla defended the reputation of Sulaiman. When Sulaiman could not speak anymore, he's in the grave, Allah defended Sulaiman in the Quran. وَمَا كَفَرَ سُلَيْمَانُ وَلَكِنَّ الشَّيَاطِينَ كَفَرُوا. So we learn here that those who are being harmed, those who are being slandered, those who are being oppressed, you need Allah. All of us need Allah, but especially those, because if Allah is on your side, then alhamdulillah, that is all that you need. And of course, one of the main constant themes of this surah is the constant repetition of the stories of Musa and the children of Israel. It is one of the main motifs of this surah. And each one of these stories of Moses and the children of Israel, each one of these has so many lessons and wisdoms. We learn from the successes of the past. We learn from the mistakes of the past. Wise indeed is the one who learns from the mistakes of others. A lot of these stories talk about the mistakes of the previous generations. Islam, when this surah was revealed, Islam was not yet a global civilization. Within 100 years of the revelation of Surah Al-Baqarah, Islam is knocking on the doors of China and Islam is conquering others on the other side. Islam has become a global force that shall be reckoned with for the next 14 centuries. So Allah is telling this ummah that is going to rule the world, don't make the mistakes of those before you. Look at what mistakes they made. Look at their personal lives when they began questioning everything. What type of cow? Why do we need to sacrifice a cow? What does Allah want by sacrificing a cow? And Allah Azza wa Jalla says, there was benefit in you. By doing this, good came to you, but you kept on questioning and questioning. And arrogance as well, the sin of arrogance. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to them, udkhulu al-baba wa qulu hittatun, just say that we repent to Allah. And instead of that, they mocked and they made fun of. And that is something that brought about their destruction. And so in every single story about Moses and about the children of Israel, we learn personal lessons. We learn lessons for the building of Islamic civilization. Also, this entire surah, one of the primary themes of this surah is to prove the truth of Islam and to mention the relationship of Islam to other faith traditions. Islam is not coming in a vacuum. No, that you have Judaism, you have Christianity, you have the Sabians, you have the pagans, you have all of these other civilizations. Each one is saying, we are the correct one. Surah Al-Baqarah tells us, وَقَالُوا كُونُوا هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارًا تَهْتَدُوا. They said, be a Christian or be a Jew, only then you will be rightly guided. And we are told in the Quran that no, بَلْ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا. Names mean nothing. We are going to follow the characteristic, we're going to follow the methodology of Ibrahim, the one who turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by the way, one of the main benefits of Surah Al-Baqarah, interfaith dialogue, the techniques that Allah uses when dealing with other civilizations, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses them. Look at so many different techniques. At times, Allah appeals to their rationality and wants them to think. At times, Allah reminds them of the past and their history. O children of Israel, O children of Israel, O children of Israel, remember the favors bestowed upon you. Remember that I chose you. Remember when the mountain was above you. Remember when Moses did this and that. So Allah is addressing them with their own history, telling them something that, frankly, an Arabian prophet who might have been an imposter, I'm saying, would never have known. Only an Arabian prophet inspired by the Lord of the children of Israel would know these stories. These are insider narratives that an Arabian prophet would never have been exposed to, because it is something that is only found in the Jewish sources. Only the Jewish folks would know this. And the fact that the Quran is saying it in such an explicit manner and telling them of their own stories, it demonstrates this prophet is not a false prophet. This prophet is coming from the same source that your prophet Moses came with. This is insider information. This surah as well, it critiques this notion of superiority, this notion of us being better than everybody else. وَقَالُوا لَنْ يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةَ إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارًا. تِلْكَ أَمَانِيُّهُمْ. They said, nobody can enter Jannah. Nobody shall enter the kingdom of heaven unless he be following our faith tradition. And Allah says, this is your wishful thinking. This is your desires. No, tilka amaniyuhum. And then Allah lays down the foundation of Islamic intellectual thought. This is Quranic epistemology. قُلْ هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Bring your evidences if you are telling the truth. We are not a religion that is based upon whims, that is based upon superstitions, that is based upon desires. Not at all. We are a religion that is based upon proof from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُلْ هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ. Bring your evidence. How do you know who is going to enter heaven and hell? How do you know who is going to be in the chosen kingdom? قُلْ هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. بَلَى مَنْ أَسْلَمَ وَجْهَهُ لِلَّهِ وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٌ. Whoever truly turns his face to Allah and he does good, that is the one who shall enter the kingdom of Allah. And names mean nothing. There has to be the ultimate devotion to Allah. A person can call himself Muslim but not act upon Islam. What use is calling yourself Muslim? So Allah is saying, don't praise yourselves. Don't say you and only you will enter heaven. No. Did you take a covenant with Allah? اتخذتم عند الله عهدا. Did you take a signed treaty with Allah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then honor it? Not at all. Do not speak about Allah without knowledge. In the surah as well, and this is really one of the main points of the surah, we see that the religion of Islam as a whole is established with every single aspect of Islam being emphasized in the surah. It's theology that dates to the very beginnings of time. It's detailed knowledge of history that no one would have known except the one who knows all of history. It's rituals, it's laws, even its calendar is mentioned in the surah Al-Baqarah. We are told that that we look at the ahilla or the crescent for our moon. We are told that Ramadan is one of the months. We have a different calendar. The relationship of Islam with all other civilizations and faith. And all of this demonstrates, as I said, that this religion is not to pick and choose. We don't just say, oh, I'll believe in God and ignore the rest. No, Surah Al-Baqarah is very explicit that, oh, you who believe, udkhulu fi silmi kaffa wa la tattabi'u khutuwat ash-shaytan. Submit yourselves wholeheartedly to Islam, 100%, and do not pick and choose, and do not follow the ways of shaytan. No, Surah Al-Baqarah tells us Islam is an entire holistic way of life, and in order to really be a Muslim, there must be an attempt. We're never going to be perfect. Adam's story teaches us we're never going to be perfect, but our attitude, our paradigm, our frame of mind, I'm going to submit as much as I can wholeheartedly. And if I make a mistake, I ask for Allah's forgiveness. And in all of this, we are proven over and over again. The surah proves and explicitly mentions that this book, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ La rayba fi. It begins by stating this factual statement. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِي. This is a book. There is no doubt in it. This is a book that is telling you everything you need to know. It is a guidance for all of mankind. It is a book from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in Surah Al-Baqarah, we learn that this surah, it is so confident that this book is from its Lord. It is so confident that you will have no doubt that this surah is divine, and therefore the Quran is divine, that there is a challenge in this surah. And if this challenge were to have been said by a mortal, by any created being, it would have been deemed as arrogance. Because the Quran says, إِن كُنْتُمْ فِي شَكِّ مِمَّا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَى عَبْدِنَا فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِّن مِثْلِهِ. If you're in any doubt, if you're unsure whether the Quran is from Allah or not, if you're unsure if Surah Al-Baqarah is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not, and this is the final verse, by the way, of a series of verses called the verses that are challenging people to produce something similar to it. There are five such verses. The last of them to be revealed is in Surah Al-Baqarah. And it is the final, and it is the seal of challenges. Why? Because within the challenge, there is a boast. And if this boast had occurred from a created mortal, it would sound arrogant. But when this boast occurs from Al-Aziz, Al-Mutakabbir, it is not arrogance, it is the ultimate truth. And what is that boast? Bring one chapter similar to Surah Al-Baqarah, or even a smaller surah. Bring one chapter similar to this, with its eloquence, with its beauty, with all of these facets. Bring one chapter and call whoever you want. Get whatever help you want. Bring all of your teams and all of your linguists and all of your scientists, whoever you want. Come and produce one chapter, and don't get the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah says, فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا. And if you cannot do it, and then the seal that seals this challenge, وَلَن تَفْعَلُوا. And you shall never be able to do it. Can you imagine if any human writes a book or builds something and says, no one will ever do something better than this. All of us would say, even if the project was good, we would say, what an arrogant person. But you see, the Quran says it and it gets away with it. Why? Because it is not the speech of a human. It is not the speech of a bashar. It is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the speech of Al-Aziz Al-Mutakabbir. And Allah Azza wa Jal is not, Allah's boast is not a boast that is arrogant for us. It is a boast of truth. And Allah is saying, how can you doubt that this book is from other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How can you doubt it is from other than Allah? How can you have these things? It is clearly from Allah. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. And this book, it is so evident from Allah that I'm even opening this challenge and I'm predicting and I'm sealing the fate that you shall never ever be able to bring something similar to the Quran. And that is why Surah Al-Baqarah is really the response to Surah Al-Fatiha when we say, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, guide us to the straight path. That is why the entire Quran then begins with Baqarah, because Baqarah summarizes for us the straight path of Islam. And that is why our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in one hadith, he says, everything, it has a crown, it has a pinnacle, everything, it has the creme de la creme, it has that essence or that crown. And the crown of the Quran, or the pinnacle of the Quran, it is Surah Al-Baqarah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who recite the surah, who memorize the surah, who act upon the surah. And one final point, dear viewers, is that inshallah throughout these 30 days, inshallah we'll be doing it at the same time frame. And I ask that if you can write down any points that you benefit or anything, and you can put them on social media so that we can inshallah benefit each other. And you can put the hashtag YQGEMS, YQGEMS, if you can put that, so that inshallah then I will retweet, or some of my people on my social media that will retweet as well, so that we can inshallah make other people as well benefit. If there's anything that you like, just write it down and then help other people. As our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one who benefits other people will get the reward of the benefits that they have done without diminishing their own personal reward. So let's benefit others. Let's get the reward of this month of Ramadan. And please, please, please remind myself and all of you, don't just restrict yourself to this lecture. No, nothing substitutes the original. Read the Arabic and then try to read some translation, so that inshallah, by the time this month is over, we have read the Quran at least once, if not more, and we have read at least one or two translations of it. Jazakumullah khair. I'll see you tomorrow night, inshallah ta'ala. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
يا من أجبت دعاء نوح فانتصر وحملته في فلكك المشحون يا من أحال النار حول خليله روحا و